This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio. Yay! Hi, Mary Gwale.
Hello.
What's up, Richie Ote?
Hello.
I wait on it down in the studio. Kelly's got it back in the home. And, man, I am super excited here today because we've got one of my favorite people ever joining us. And this is not only a topic, of course, that I think is as timely as ever, which is we're going to be talking about reinventing commitment. And if you've listened to the show before, you know we may actually there's a chance, Mary, there's a chance we may go down a couple rabbit holes.
Just, really?
Did you say a chance we won't or a chance we will?
I'm sorry. Yes, a chance we will go down a couple of rabbit holes. But we're going to cover a lot of ground here today. Because we've got someone who's joining us that really has just, when you talk about, you know, we've covered a lot of folks here who are first generation success stories. And it's rare that we have people on the show who are not first generation people here in the States, but have become success stories. I don't know what it is, but it's something about that second generation, maybe it skips a generation. The third generation sometimes does better than the second. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But Suzanne didn't. She's not first generation, and I think she'll clarify that for us. But I'm almost 100% that she's not first generation. Is that, actually just bring Suzanne on, and we got Suzanne Evans joining us. So Suzanne, before I go too far down that rabbit hole, that's correct. You are not first generation here to the States, correct? Your parents were born here.
We're actually, I don't know what you're talking about. We're seventh generation.
See?
Living here.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. All right. And so let's take it back a step or 20. Did you come from money? Did you get a huge inheritance and your success is because you had a lot of money and you were just able to take that money and parlay it into what you're doing now?
No. I actually, interestingly, I'm a seventh generation farm family.
See?
So my sister and myself are the first in seven generations to actually not farm.
Wow.
But I do have basil in the front yard, so I'm trying to still carry it forward.
Trying to carry on the legacy.
The family, though. Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because to be successful, and I'll give you a chance to talk about where you came from and how you got to where you are now, but just let me just start out with this. So to be successful, obviously you're a big proponent, you know, big advocate of being committed and having goals and having objectives and committing to achieving those. But really, why do you think you've been so successful over the course of your career since you decided to go into business for yourself? What do you really think that boils down to?
You know, I have a different answer in the last year than I used to have to that question. And I actually think it's because of my parents. The more people I employ, the more colleagues I curate, the more experiences I have, have become so clear on the fact that your fundamental values about how you do things, how you show up, and how you accomplish goals and success has to either come from the home you were raised in, doesn't matter who was raising you, but the home, or you were lucky enough to come across some teacher or minister or someone that you saw as a mentor at a very young age and instilled those values in you. And it's a different answer than I used to have, because I used to talk about, like, you know, what it takes to be successful and who you are. And I recognize it's much more important to know if those values were instilled in you and when than that you have them. And I'm kind of blown away on a daily basis how poorly people were positioned at an early time in their life to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally hear you on that. And so for those who don't know your story, because I want to make sure that people understand where you came from to be, I mean, you've been on the Inc. 500, 5,000 list for years on end. You've got a multi-million-dollar company now. You put a book on the New York Times list. You've worked with the best of the best, and people turn to you and frankly, pay you a lot of money to get your guidance and attention. And at this point, you don't really even do all that much of that personal stuff because you've got your whole team now. But reality is, it didn't start out this way. And you had kind of that epiphany, that come to Jesus moment. I know your story, but there are a lot of folks who don't understand kind of where you came from. And reality says there are a lot of people out there right now who are in the position that you were in, that you were able to pull yourself from the bootstraps, you know, by the bootstraps out of, and create the business of success that you now have. So take us back to the days of being a secretary and being in theater and so on and so forth, so people can understand where you came from.
Sure. Well, as I said, I was a seventh-generation farm family, and I had a really interesting childhood from the standpoint that my parents, I now have a 10-month-old, and I asked my dad not long ago, I said, how long did you were a farmer? You know, we lived like on a dirt road when I was growing up in the middle of the country. How did you know to choose a different school than, you know, than the school I would have gone to? And how did you know to put me in theater? And he said something that I just loved. He said, I thought about everything I knew nothing about, and that's what I focused on giving you. Because I knew that you'd get what I know, right, through parenting. And so I was really active in theater, and I went on to have a theater degree, and I worked as a secretary in my title was assistant producer, and I joke that's a fancy name for secretary, in the Broadway theater industry for 10 years. And it was actually a really cool, interesting experience. I put Usher into Chicago and Melanie Griffith and Reba McEntire into Annie Get Your Gun. I opened 5 Broadway shows at the company I was working with, and I was making nothing. Like, when I started, I think the salary I started with was $30,000 or $35,000. Worked my way up to $40,000 or $45,000. And I just had one of those moments, like so many people have, where I go, there's got to be more. And this isn't actually a bad life. I'm happy, but I'm going to hit a brick wall here. Mm-hmm. And what is it I really want to do with my life? So I wanted to start my own business. And there's, you know, a long story we don't have time for today about how I even came to what I wanted to do at the time. And at that time, I became a coach. And I had no business skills except for what I had. My parents were entrepreneurs, my dad being a farmer and owning a little hardware store. But so I realize now that I picked up a lot through that, but I certainly didn't have any official business skills. I had 2 degrees in musical theater. You know, I started the business, and what I learned is that you can always, always out-hustle smart. You can always outwork talent. And it's really what I did. And I built a 6-figure business in a year and built a $1 million business in under 3 years. And, you know, went on to have the business you talked about now that I have. And it really came from deciding that I wanted to do something different, that I didn't want to be in a job, that I wanted to make a bigger difference, and not having any clue really what that would look like, but knowing that I would never figure it out if I didn't start. And that's what I did 8 years ago. And so here we are, and here we are talking, and it's been a very, very blessed life. And it's been a great testament to the fact that you don't have to know the most, you don't have to have the fanciest degree, you don't have to be the most talented, but if you are committed and you are consistent and you're willing to hustle, you really can have anything you want.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, and I love your saying you can out-hustle smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is something that can give a lot of people hope.
Absolutely, and it's true, because here's the deal. It is all about getting up every day and being insanely committed to what it is you want. And that commitment will literally take over anybody else's intellect or training. And I see people all the time, Steve, I know you and I together, we happened to be together last weekend and we saw this in the room that we're in. You see people that are so trained and so skilled and so slow and so uncommitted. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's gonna win every time. And I told myself that too, as well. I would say, I'd say, oh, my gosh, is this ever going to work? Is this ever going to work? And I go, you know what? It will, because other people will eventually stop. Mm-hmm. Success is just those people that are left at the end of the race when everybody else bowed out at mile three.
So what would you suggest? I know a lot of speaker friends. Oh, darn, I got a minute. I'm going to post the question out to you, and then if we don't have time, maybe in the second segment. So I have a lot of speaker friends, and more than I can name three right off the top of my head that want to convert their business from getting on a plane, flying in a hotel, doing the engagement, and flying back. They want to try to...
You mean what I'm going to do right after this show?
Right?
Yeah, literally.
And what you did last week, I think,
yes.
as well?
Yeah.
And they want to convert it, but honestly, I can see in their eyes, they're like, I just don't know how to do that. It's not going to work. How can I take the risk and do more courses online? And mm-hmm. that type of thing. It's a mindset thing, isn't it, Suzanne?
I believe it's a mindset thing, but I also believe it's an education piece and a pedagogy piece as well. The cool thing about if a speaker wants to make that transition, and I actually coach multiple speakers who are doing exactly what you're saying, is the great thing about a speaker moving into online courses or consulting or coaching or teaching.
We're right now out of time, so can we have that as a cliffhanger into the second segment?
You bet.
Okay, great.
All right, we'll be right back on Reinvented Radio here with Suzanne Evans right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher hanging out with Lily Mergolet.
Hello.
Richie Ote, what's your favorite? As you're downing that almond cookie and trying not to chew into the microphone. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And we got Suzanne Evans joining us on the road as well. And there's a whole story behind why you're on the road, and I'm not sure that we're going to have time for that. But I do think it speaks to the whole power of reinventing commitment. But before the break, Mary, you were asking Suzanne a really important question. So why don't we take a step back? Let you ask that question again, and then we'll dive into Suzanne's answers there.
Okay. So Suzanne, you mentioned that you have your coaching speakers who want to either scale or do a lateral shift and work their business. Maybe I was mentioning my speaker friends who want to get off the road and have courses and more online presence, but they are stymied. They're stuck and. You know, did they just lose the juice of the hustle because they built a good business? What is that catch when people feel that stuckness?
Well, I think the biggest detriment of success is success. It's hard to figure out the next move. It's the more successful you become, the higher the risk gets. One of my friends and someone that I've coached with, Cameron Held, says it's like when you throw a penny into the pool as a kid. You go down, you get it, you come back up, you're like gasping for air, you're like, oh, I did it. Then you go scuba diving and you go down a few hundred feet and it's like you run out of air, you can get up pretty quick, you go down thousands of feet, you run out of air, it becomes literally death. And that's what happens in business too. The bigger the business gets, you know, I heard you speaking about, you know, Amazon and Whole Foods, and when you're talking about those kinds of acquisitions and moves like that, the risk becomes enormous. So do people lose the juice? Yes, but I think it's usually a two-pronged problem. One is the success has become so high that the risk has matched that level of high, and so it becomes consuming to do something different. And I think the other piece is, too, that Les Brown has an amazing quote that he says, when you wake up and you're living your dream, it's not your dream anymore. I find successful people actually can stop dreaming, and they get what they want, and then they kind of just live into that without figuring out what the next dream is.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. But let's. I just want to make sure that we're clear on this for a second here, because commitment is one thing, but commitment without a plan is a whole other story. So how do you balance the two in terms of making, shall we say, the goal or the objective attainable? Right, because I mean, you could be committed to be success, but I know you're really big on having people have a plan and be very clear about an attainable plan. And if you have an attainable plan, you can commit to that. So can you just speak to how you get people so fired up to commit to something?
Well, commitment without a plan is simply self-suggestion. Mm-hmm. It's not really commitment. Mm-hmm. And so when you're committing to your next step, you really need three things. The first thing you need is you need the ability to understand the long game, like what am I ultimately going for, the ability to see the short game, because that's what you're going to be committing to in the moment, and then you better have somebody or something that can show you how to get to that short game enough times that it gets you to the long game. And I can tell you, when I started out, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a business background, but I was smart enough to know, just go find some people that have already done it and get them to help you. And the last thing I would say is, so many people get focused on the destination, and that's a real problem. They get obsessed with the destination. T.D. Jakes says, stop worrying about the destination and just jump on the transportation. Because the transportation will get you to the destination. I don't do what I did when I first started my business, but it got me started and it got a business going so that I could take that transportation and let it lead me to the ultimate destination of the business I have now.
Yeah, no, that's really, really sage advice. So I'm gonna take a step towards a topic here that I know you are incredibly comfortable with at this point, but at some point you certainly were not. And I want to talk about commitment as it pertains to authenticity. And I remember when we had a conversation a couple of years back, maybe even a few years back at this point, you were talking about how one of the most well-read and best responded to emails that you had ever sent out was one where you talked about being fat, being broke, and being gay, right? And all of those things in and of themselves are triggers. I mean, you say someone's fat, it triggers.
Steve,
you say someone's,
those were all secrets. You said this now on radio. Everybody knows.
And so, but you were, at some point, you woke up and you said, you know what? I cannot commit to being X, Y, or Z without being clear on who I really am. And so just speak to what triggered you to really just, well, put on the table something that a lot of folks would be super uncomfortable about, and how that has propelled you really in terms of being able to commit to that authenticity to where you are in your life and your business today.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a mirror. A mirror is a great truth tool. I came into the industry that I'm in a time where there was about four or five, Steve, you would know all of them, females who were really kind of leading the industry, and they all weighed 87 pounds, and they would all, like, you know, had beautiful hair and were done to the nines and, you know, running all over California. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting in this industry. I'm going to be that. And then I woke up one morning and I'm like, this isn't working. I can't be that. I mean, I could try my whole life to be that, mm-hmm. and I'm never going to be that. So you better figure out how to be you and bring what you hold authentically to the table and what's interesting about you, and see if that works, because you trying to be something you will never be isn't working. And it really was that moment where you almost feel like an idiot, because you've been trying to model. I wasn't trying to model things. I was trying to be things. Right? Mm-hmm. And first of all, nobody wants to connect or work with somebody who's not you know, authentically themselves. And second of all, it was so clear that I'm the antithesis of most of those things. Mm-hmm. And so when I said, okay, what am I and who am I and how do I connect with people? And I just started sharing that story, and I use that as my marketing language and my copy. That's really when my business exploded, because I truly believe that when people are their truest, most real selves in an unapologetic way for the good of others, that's when people want to be a part of your tribe. Mm-hmm. And it sounds simple, but that's exactly what happened for me. It was a morning in a mirror going, you're in trouble, sister, because you can't be what you're trying to be.
Yeah, yeah, point well taken. So then let me just ask you this then, because I know, Richie, you got a question as well, but how do you deal with the collateral damage of committing to being your authentic self?
Well, you know, it depends on what your authentic self is. There's less collateral damage for people who are more conforming. You know, I'm loud, I'm crass, I'm gay, I'm fat, I cuss, I tell people like it is. And so because that's my style, I trigger a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And in that triggering comes negative feedback. But I came from the Broadway theater industry. And when you wake up after an opening and you're looking at the reviews, if the reviews are amazing, everybody figures out a plan to sell tickets. If the reviews are lousy, everybody figures out a plan to sell tickets. So whether you like me or not, my job remains the same. Mm-hmm. I'm here to support people. I'm here to coach people. I'm here to help people. And I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make a difference.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. So how can you help people figure out then, what do you suggest people do in terms of understanding what to actually commit to? Is there a process? Because you have a lot of options. I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, you have a lot of options now at this point in your career. So staying committed, I know you've got the baby now, you're committed to that, of course. But from a business perspective, what do you tell folks in terms of how do you figure out what makes the most sense to commit to?
In the beginning, you commit to fastest path to cash. You commit to what will get you the most profitable results the fastest, because business is about profit. That is the core essence of business. Now, my job is to commit to less. I say yes to almost everything that makes sense, except there's a caveat. I go, yes, and then my next question to myself is, who can I get to do this for me, right, on the team? So I think that's one of the biggest challenges as you go through business is, in the beginning, you commit to everything and anything that will make a difference to the bottom line as fast as you can to get the business going, and then you slowly have to figure out how to stop doing that. And that's also where a lot of people that are very successful stumble, because they don't build team, they don't delegate, they don't get support, they don't leverage, they don't create verticals. And then you're stuck doing the same thing you've always done, just busier and more burnout.
Yeah. And you have a saying, well, it's been thrown around for quite a long time in various ways, but what I think is really telling about just who you are as a person, and I think that folks could really apply this then to their lives and their business, you really need to look no further than the title of your book. So tell people the title of your book and what inspired you to write it.
The way you do anything is the way you do everything. And I was really moved to, you know, I saw so many entrepreneurs who said they wanted to be in business but didn't want to take any action that it takes to be successful. And I call those dreamers. And you're either a dreamer or you're a doer. And doers have dreams that have plans and they take action on and they're committed to. And so the book is for business owners, but it's really about, you know, how do you show up in your life and how do you show up in your family and how do you show up in your business? Because that is the truth that is being told about how successful you will be in business.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can tell you, whatever you did this morning, your routine with your family, with your friends, with your finances is an exact reflection of how successful your business is.
Yeah. All right. Really, really good advice there. And absolutely recommend grabbing a copy of that book. And we've got a little bit more time here with Suzanne Evans on Reinvention Radio. More right after this.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher with Mary Grillet. Hello, Mary
Grillet.
Hello. Richie
Hello, up, Steve.
And hanging out with the one and only Suzanne Evans today. Now, Suzanne, man, there's so much ground that we could cover here, and we could probably make this into a let's just do a Suzanne summit. Like all of our featured speakers in a summit will be Suzanne, and just let her talk about everything. But let's do this because I really think it's important for folks to understand that first step that you took once you committed to getting out of that life as a glamorous secretary, if you will. And get into this world. There's a lot of people out there who want to make a similar jump. But as you said, you didn't have the background necessarily to do what it is that you are doing. With all seriousness and as clear as you can be on this, what was the first step that you took when you dove into this arena? What did you actually do and how did it grow from there?
I literally sat down with a pen and paper and said, what do I have to offer? Because I knew that business was transactional and I had to be able to offer a solution to a problem. And I have to be honest, in the beginning, it was a little blurry. It wasn't super clear, but I got it clear enough to go, okay, this is one step past selling air, right? And so I that was my first step. And then my second step was, making a list, I call it an ABC list, of every possible person I could think of in my life that I could offer that service to. And the A list were people that I knew would be highly supportive and adored me. The B list were people that I was like, a little less. And the C list was the list that scared the hell out of me to talk to those people about it. But I knew there was two keys to business. It had to be transactional, problem solving, and you had to ask people to buy your stuff. And I'm not sure how I knew that, except possibly growing up with my dad and being in a house, that was, if nobody comes in, we're not going to sell anything. And if we don't have anything to sell, nobody's going to come in. And it just was common sense to me. And I will tell you, I have hundreds of people that come up to me every year and say, I want to start a business. I really want to work from home, or I really want to do my own thing. I say, great. They have no idea what they have. Mm-hmm. Don't understand that you must have a transaction and you must solve a problem, and they don't know who they are in this, and they're scared as heck to ask anybody. Business is the hardest thing you will ever do. If you can have a job instead of being in business, always do that, because if you can't do the two things that I started with, you'll never make it, not even by accident.
Mm-hmm. No, that point's really, really well taken. And so as an example, when you say it's transaction-driven, transaction-oriented, and being, you know, willing to ask for that sale, what's an example then of something?
So for me,
what's an example of something they can offer?
In the beginning, I was like, I'm the person that everybody calls and asks for advice. Great. All my friends, a lot of my family, what are the consistent things they're asking for advice on? Most of it was career. People would say, I don't like my job, or I want to advance in my job, or I want a new job, or gosh, I hate getting up every day and doing what I'm doing. So I said, I seem to be talking to friends and family a lot about what you could do different in your career life. And I went, that's transactional. People hate their job or need a better job. I give really great advice about how they should approach that and what they should do. There you go. Now we've got problem, solution.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah. So, Richie, you were talking before the break there about
I got a few things, actually. So, we only have, what do we have, 5 minutes?
About 5 minutes,
yeah. Holy moly. Okay, that went fast. I'm going to go back to your have a plan. And, you know, when people first start, that's part of what I think paralyzes them, is they don't know what they are even supposed to know. So, making a plan is kind of hard for them, right? Especially these days, it's It's kind of like everyone's teaching you, get your audience first and then sell the audience a product.
Which I don't agree with.
Yeah, I know. There's a couple things here. So maybe you'll hear things like "fake it till you make it" or whatever, where you just kind of you're committed to it and you're faking it till you make it. How much do you think that is? Do you think it's a fake it till you make it or believe it until you see it? You know, is that a little bit better? Because it's not really you're still committed to it. You know, you have things to learn. But you don't have the knowledge of what you're even supposed to put in a plan yet.
Yeah. Listen, I think plans become very useful shortly after you get going. I would say when you initially get going, plans are worthless. And here's why I think that. The plans will probably not work. You probably don't know how to follow them, right? And you're not sure what to do. In the beginning, two things that I think can be really key. One is make your plan interviewing people about what their problems are and what the solutions are they want around the area or the industry you're going into. The second thing I would say is then ask everybody you possibly can to work for you for free or low fee, right? And if you're selling a physical product, you know, reduce the heck out of it to where you make one penny or nothing or break even. Because it is essential that you understand what people need. And so I actually believe in the very, very beginning, kind of scrap the plan and take the action. And then as soon as you're clear on what people need and what you can offer and what that looks like, then you can begin to plan, how do I find those people and how do I curate a tribe, right, that will then want to buy that solution that I offer.
Yeah, and I think it's brilliant, too, to get even if it's 1 cent, because I worked in e-commerce for years, and I know it's just as hard to get the first dollar as it is to get the next 999.
For sure.
It is.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. We got a couple minutes left here before, unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap. But let me ask you this. What would you say to people? How would you guide people to stay committed and stay the course when life and business inevitably gets in the way of what you truly want to accomplish?
So two sides to that. I'll go back to he was saying, you know, do you say, you know, fake it till you make it? No, I say practice it until you understand it. Mm. And then when you understand it, really get it. And then when you get it, never forget it. And so that would be for the person who's more kind of starting out. For those people who are a little more advanced and been successful, I have to get up every single day and act like it's day one in my business. With employees, with clients, with marketing, with the vision, because it is a brand new day and nobody cares what I did yesterday. My consumers and my clients don't care what I did yesterday, and nobody cares that I was good or bad yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I try to approach my business every single day as we're starting over today, and it's day one, and how do we find the right people, how do we serve the right people, and how do we create more success for ourselves and for the people we serve.
Yeah, no, that's really, really great advice. And so if people want more information about you, Suzanne, I know you do an amazing event called the Be the Change event. I think that's one place where people can get to know you a little bit. But where else should people go if they want more information about you and what you're up to?
Easiest place is SuzanneEvans.org.
Okay. All right. Very, very cool. All right, my friends, we're gonna let Suzanne go and I got to tell you, it really is an incredible story. And I know we've covered a lot of ground on the show over the years, and we've interviewed a number of people, but very, very few people that we have met have been able to impact as many people in as powerful a way as Suzanne has been able to do over the years. So hopefully you are as inspired by her story as we are, and certainly encourage you to check out everything that Suzanne Evans is up to, and of course, check out her New York Times bestselling book as well. And if you have any feedback on this show, please give us a call, 844-MR-BOLD-1. That's 1-844-MR-BOLD-1. Leave us a message there. We'd love to hear your thoughts or comments, or if there's a guest you want to have, we want to see us have on the show here, let us know that as well. And for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast edition of the show, we do love you. Remember, you can join us live every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific at reinventionradio.com. From Mary Galay, Richie Ote, I'm Steve Ulscher. We'll talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care, everybody.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.